Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Here we go. It's hour one of the G-Bag Nation on 105.3 The Fan, and welcome in on this Thirsty Thursday. We got 5 hours of sports coming up here for you. A general at your service. If you see me, bear me. N.A., of course. There's Brian Bros, former Cowboy Scout, the Super Bowl champion. Lucius Alexander's in the Pimp Cup over there. Master Control here at 75 and Fitzhugh. He'll try to keep the Gators down best he can. He will go 5 flawless, though. Wolchuk and Chiafalo are here, and Carter Freeman's coordinating your video. You can watch us every day at 105thefan.com, Twitch, and YouTube. We're just about 48 hours now from Texas OU down there at the fair, and that's exciting. Next chance to get your 2025 G-Bag Nation flag is tomorrow. Of course, KNC going to be out there with Taco Bueno. We'll be at Cold Beers and Cheeseburgers. And then Saturday, I'm going to be at Hurtado Mansfield from 10 to 10:30, then Hurtado Fort Worth 11:30 to 12. So mark that on your calendar. Southern Tolos, Western Tolos. We want to see you Saturday. Great opportunity to pick up some barbecue, you know, for your watch party, whether it's Texas OU or whether it's UNT or, you know, whatever football team you're going to watch. Of course, the Hurtado barbecue would go perfectly with it. How the heck you guys doing, man?
Excellent, good? Man.
Yeah,
excellent.
Doing awesome.
Yep,
excellent. Really doing awesome.
Phenomenal. North Texas, big game tomorrow night. They've sold it out. I'm so happy that the Mean Green Nation is coming out in full force there to Denton. Of course, they canceled the classes. Looking forward to that. We got Stars hockey returning tonight. Big time Thursday night football game. Hopefully the Eagles get upset. It's a sports paradise right now. It really is.
It is. And the Cowboys are getting ready for Carolina. Matt Eberflus's quote, "We took a step. We took a step in the right direction. We got to take another step." The coordinators talked today. They did lead the league in pressures in week 5. Is the worst of the defense behind them, or do we need to brace for more chaos? What do you say, boys? First question for you.
I'd say it's the worst is behind them. I mean, it was pretty ugly. When you're allowing Russell Wilson to throw for 450 yards, I would like to think we've seen the worst versions of Diggs and Bland post-injury, unless there's another injury. So I would hope, now you've added Clowney, and I didn't think Clowney was great last week. We'll see how he does this week. He should be motivated against a former team. And you're going to get some health back. I mean, again, I don't know what to expect from Overshown and some of these other guys, but I would say with just how bad it was against Chicago, against New York, like, we saw horrific defensive all-time bad performances. I think that there's only room to improve. So I hope there's not a regression here.
I mean, their run defense numbers are starting to eke back to what they were last year.
Are they dead balls last in success rate right now?
In run defense success rate?
Yeah.
I know it's not good. Those are things that might be worse now with Sanborn in concussion protocol. Eberflus also saying Murray's going to move inside as he has on passing downs, but now he will also be there on run downs. And rookie Shamar James is also going to be a piece of the rotation. They're excited about him. You know, there's this account on social media, Okoye Media or something like that.
And he does a really good job.
He breaks it down well.
He's pumping the Kenneth Murray optimism train. So yes, last night I'm like, okay, you know, I just want to be right on this. I want to learn. I don't know if this Okoye Media guy is on it or not, but I watched a lot more Kenneth Murray last night and I still don't see it.
No,
I see occasionally, I guess he's in position in zone passing defense, but everything else is just a dumpster fire. So I want to be fair to the player, and that's why, you know, I admit I'm not a scout. I'm not a coach.
Yeah.
We have brought us here. Tell us what you're seeing with Kenneth Murray. Like, is this where the bleep really hits the fan, or do you think he's going to get better?
No, and to answer your question, by the way, the worst is still ahead of you. And if you continue to play poor run defense, because you're about to deal with three teams in the top 10 of rushing the football, the Commanders, you're dealing with the Broncos, and then with Carolina. Now, Carolina's, a lot of it came from this last game.
Yeah.
I mean, up until that, they'd really kind of struggled. So you can maybe kick them out, But the Commanders are number one in the league. The Broncos are number four. If you do not figure out, if all of a sudden Carolina has success, their way of winning this football game Sunday is going to be running the football. If they go out and do what they did against the Dolphins, you might be in some trouble in this one. And Kenneth Murray has something to do with that. You know, James has something to do with that. The defensive tackles have something to do with that. You know, the thing with Murray is that he's the one guy that I feel like he understands where he needs to fit and where he needs to be. He doesn't always have success getting there. And then you've got the other guys, the young guys like James and Leofau, who are very athletic, very quick to trigger, but they run around blocks and get themselves in trouble that way. So to me, I think as a whole, one of the reasons why we keep talking about linebackers and potential trades is would you like to replace a couple of those guys?
How much faith do you have that it can get better with them throughout the year? I would figure as like a 6 or 7 year veteran, you're not going to learn so much of the scheme that it's going to drastically transform who you are.
It's not so much the scheme. It's your ability. Kenny Clark the other day got blocked. You know, and he's got great technique. He got blocked in that game. And so did Osa, and so did Solomon Thomas, and so did Sanborn. Everybody that played run defense in that game the other day had a poor day. I mean, you just look at the numbers with guys on and off the field. 8 yards, 7 yards, 6 yards. I mean, that's bad run defense right there. But a lot of it has to do with, like, if you're supposed to be in this gap and you're not, then that's a problem. And they've had it at all levels. But the defensive line, I think, physically got it taken to them the other day against the Jets in that game.
It did. And the linebackers couldn't do much to help them or bail them out with missed tackles and whatnot. I feel like the Cowboys weekend starts earlier this time around, because tonight you get an intra-division matchup with your Giants and Eagles in New York. Comes down to the Giants front to me. I don't think New York's going to be able to score enough that if this game gets into the 20s, the Giants have a chance. But considering how bad the Eagles have played this year, on paper, this is actually an even matchup. NFL Network put up a graphic like 90 minutes ago, and it was amazing. They did like 8 different stats with the different efficiencies and the total offense, the total defense, the run, the pass, and all that. And the average scores define these teams as about similar. That's just how bad Philadelphia has been on, not only on offense, but on defense as well. You know, the Eagles, they lost, 3 different pass rushers? Was it Williams, Sweat, and Graham? Graham retired.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They have 7 sacks this year, guys.
Yeah,
they cannot rush the passer,
and they traded away Huff to the 49ers.
So I don't want to rule out that the Eagles Super Bowl celebration effectively ends tonight, and you have chaos in the streets of Philadelphia and on their sports radio. We might be spying on Eagles sports radio tomorrow to soak up those Eagles tears. But yeah, Giants beat the Chargers a couple weeks ago. Jackson Dart's debut. Should have beat the Saints. So, you know, this could be a Giants team that won 2 in a row. They got close to beating the Cowboys.
Yeah.
So, and yes, the Eagles absolutely suck at running. And tonight they are going to try to prove that they can get Saquon Barkley in a bounce back game. Last year, his one game against the Giants, he had 176 yards, but he's producing like 80 yards less per game this year than last.
I think if I'm Brian Daboll and this coaching staff of the Giants, I kind of make this. Maybe this is a game where you turn it into like Jackson Dart, how he played at Ole Miss. Maybe you make this a game. Let's test your run defense a little bit with some RPO stuff. Let's try and kind of get the ball out quick. The biggest difference between these two teams and is if you look at turnover differential.
Yeah, the turnovers are bad.
One's like -5 and the other's +4.
That's what cost them the game against the Saints. Yeah. They're at the 1 yard line. They fumble.
Yeah. So I think that Jackson Dart playing in this game, even being a rookie, I would try and do some things that he's capable of getting the ball down the field. The Giants offensive line, if the Eagles don't get any type of pass rush, you know, we saw the Cowboys struggle to get pressure against a really a banged up. And that wasn't with their best offensive tackle playing.
Yeah.
Who hasn't given up any pressures this year, I don't think. So, yeah, Giants have a chance, absolutely, at home. Do they score enough points? Do you turn this into a college offensive attack, make the Eagles have to kind of defend a new quarterback on a short week? Those are the things I would try and take advantage of. But the Giants' pass rush could be good enough in this game. Their guys getting after Philadelphia. They could break Philadelphia down with some of their pass rush, and and maybe that could be, if Jalen Hurts is going to sit there and hold the ball, maybe you get some guys home.
Which is why if they can control Barkley, I like their chances, because they've been bad in run defense. I think they're giving up like over 5.3 yards a carry. And to your point, last year Barkley just absolutely crushed them.
Yeah.
But their running attack has not been the same this year. So maybe that does bode well for the Giants to possibly pull off an upset.
Get right with that run defense. Contain Hurts from crushing you, because if all hell breaks loose, he can do that. I won't be surprised tonight if the Giants play this thing close. I think it's a 7.5-point spread. I might have to get on my online sports book. Okay, Rangers pitcher Nathan Eovaldi had surgery for a sports hernia. Yeah.
Yes, he did. Yeah, I saw Jeff Wilson put out this story. General manager Ross Fensmaker said last week that Evo was going to go back to Arizona, get a consultation after experiencing the discomfort late last season. He was shut down because of the strained rotator cuff, but today, yesterday, he underwent surgery in Phoenix for that sports hernia. So hopefully he'll be okay, full recovery, and he'll be on track for spring training.
I mean, he is breaking down right and left. Well, let me ask you this. If CY came out and said, look, this is the perfect time to blow up the team. Yeah, we just had DeGrom have a 29-start season. We got Eovaldi breaking down right and left. Our offense is far away. It's time to blow this thing up. I would get it. I would be more excited about them spending, just shy of the luxury tax threshold and trying their best to remake the offense. But isn't that just too risky next year? You're depending on Eovaldi and DeGrom. Eovaldi's averaging like 2.5 injuries per year over the last 4 years. Guy can't stay healthy.
Yeah.
We had a great World Series run. Let's make the most out of the future now by doing the right thing and blowing this team up.
I think there's so much that Evo brings off the diamond that is important here to your development with some of the younger guys that we've seen take some strides. I mean, like, Evo still had at least 22 starts each of the last 5 years. So I think you do need to be prepped that he's going to miss some time, to your point. I mean, he had 29 games in 2024, the year they won the World Series, 25. So if you can get 25 starts from Evo, I'd feel really good about it. But, yeah, I do think you need to blow everything up in terms of the lineup. I just don't know. The pitching, I think, can still – I mean, you got a guy that was competing for a Cy Young Award.
He was.
You know, so it's like –
That's what I like.
It's really tough, but I think that just expectations, like, I do think you're going to have probably two stints on the IL for Eovaldi, and you're going to have to look at maybe, much like we talked about with DeGrom, like, do you have to skip starts here and there? Those are two guys that are older, and you're going to have to monitor them throughout the season.
Well, it hurts my Rangers heart to have to say this, but Chiafalo brought us. Can I recruit either of you to team blow it up? I don't like trusting injured guys.
No, for sure, for sure. And I'm with you on that. And I think there could be I wonder if waiting till the trade deadline, could give you a clearer picture on exactly what this team is. Like, I still want to see what they can try and maneuver here in the off season and go in with some excitement. And then if things are looking bleak, then you can start to punt on maybe some of those veterans.
I like him.
I kind of feel like, though, as long as you have the middle of your infield, those veteran guys, I think you have to continue to try and give it a go. I think I'm going to need one more. Jack Leiter at 10-10 gave me encouragement. Can you get Malley or can you get
Kelly
done? I'm going to need the pitchers.
Need Bradford to finally stay healthy.
Yeah, this guy has done a really good job of kind of putting together bullpen pieces. I'm going to give it one more run at it. I'm thinking that maybe we've talked so much about, and I'm going to try and make a little comparison here. We've talked so much about with Shoddy being on staff and kind of seeing all the F-ups that
Skip Schumacher.
Yeah, well, I'm talking
McCarthy.
About McCarthy made.
Yeah.
That he's like, okay, we can't do this. I mean, maybe the same thing can be said with Skip, that some of the things that he saw from afar taking notes is like, okay, I wouldn't do this. I wouldn't do this. Maybe he has a plan of how he wants to attack the hitting, some of the managerial decisions, maybe some of the use of the pitchers, maybe some development with young players. I'm willing to give him, I want him to get off to a good start, much like I want Shoddy to get off to a good start so they could kind of build things in the future. I think if you blew it up right now, you're probably doing your manager a disservice.
I like what you did there, Brian. Everything.
Yeah, the one
good
thing I really
like
trust
Chief did too.
CY is the pitching side of things. You know, like CY's put together the best pitching that the Rangers have ever had. I think the one thing that he deserves criticism for is how he's putting together this lineup. And when you look at some of the free agent moves that he's made with Jock Peterson, Berger, like those guys didn't live up to expectation.
That's been very questionable.
So I really trust what CY is doing with the pitching. And if he believes in Evo and DeGrom and these guys, and I also think the leadership side of things, like the pitching has it, and why it's because of those two. The lineup doesn't, and that was very noticeable in the clubhouse. So maybe he needs to evaluate, maybe Skip can do a good job with this, like how do they reconstruct the lineup? But the pitching, for the first time in Rangers history, like I'm feeling pretty darn confident in it.
All right, stay tuned. Of course, the hot stove will be warming up here in about a month or so, and before too long, we'll be into December and the winter meetings and everything, and we're excited about what CY is going to do, as always, here on your home of the Rangers. We got the top 10 at 220 coming up, the G-Bag of the Day champion. Wolchuk, what's the subject matter?
Very hated and debated list. Top 10 Girl Scout cookies of all time. 877-881-1053. Who's number one in your Girl Scout cookie pack?
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And you're seeing exactly
you know why it's not
outside of Cleveland.
You know,
think of the Browns, outside of
Browns. You know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Our rankings.
Yeah, buddy, welcome back. It's time for the G-Bag of the Day champion replay. You can tune in every night at 5:30 as the champ faces challengers. Then we'll get to Woolchuck's top 10. Segments brought to you by the Frankels. If you've been injured in a car or truck wreck, call the Frankels first, 214 or 817-333-3333. The Frankels, there's never an out-of-pocket cost. They only get paid when you win. The go-to car and truck wreck attorneys in Dallas. That's Franklin Frankel. Into the Pimp Cup. Yeah. Here's Lucius for that champ.
Oh, yeah. I think this is like day three for this champion audio, I believe. Day three.
Yep.
For AI Broadus.
All right.
Watching the Cowboys game with AI Broadus. Take it away.
Left to right at the Dallas 42. Fields is in the gun. Gives it to Hall, and he's got a seam at right guard. He breaks away from a tackle running 30. 25, 21-yard line.
This team's never going to stop anybody. I told these f***ers to keep Zimmer.
Pressure blowing right up the middle. Sam Williams with his speed, with his first sack of the year and the Cowboys' fourth of the day.
Didn't Bobby say they wouldn't be able to rush the passer? This is why I fired his fat ass from Love of the Star.
Here's a deep pass down the right side. Oh, Fagoy at the 25. A great move inside the defender and down to the 15.
Let me text the gang of seven about this Flournoy guy. You like this guy, right, Zach? Yeah, that's why you're my draft show protege and we had to gatekeep Chiafalo.
All right, here's Fields throwing deep. Oh, into the right side. Wilson caught it at the 48.
Is Babe mute over there? Is this a preseason game? Do I need to step in and do color for him?
Going deep. There's a shot for Pickens. He got pushed. He caught the ball.
Zach, do you remember which of my 72 podcasts I talked about taking a shot to Pickens this week? Peyton, I'm going to run downstairs real quick and see if the homeless guy outside the McDonald's wants some G-bag gear.
Throws it deep to the middle. Flannoy on a deep crosser. 45, broke a tackle. Right sideline, 20-yard line.
He told me I had to be higher than Mark Sanchez in the cab of an oil disposal truck to think he'd be seen in that.
Brilliance from Bobby Belt.
He is brilliant.
Incredible.
AI brought us. How are you doing so far this season and not letting him get under your skin?
Oh, no, I called him up and thanked him for that. That was awesome. That was cool.
No, the Cowboys.
Oh, no, not again. No. No. I made that proclamation like week one, and no. And then they turn around. They played really, really well against Philadelphia, a chance to win.
Yeah.
And then the Green Bay game made me even more mad, you know, like another team. You know, yeah, so it hasn't worked out very well for me. Thanks.
No, I appreciate it, man. Yeah. It's great stuff. It's a content gold mine, and it's time now for Woolchuck's Top 10 at 220.
All righty, Top 10 Girl Scout Cookies, 877-881-1053. Big weekend ahead, and I do love Girl Scout cookies, but I do want to remind everybody, Saturday, come on out. Brian brought us. You got a chance at some Mardi Gras Brian here. Maybe. Maybe you can convince him, as it's our Texas OU watch party. Lucius is going to be out there. I'll be out there. Brian, the Fightin' Jake Reapmus. Big game for the Fightin' Reapmus, the Detroit Tigers and the Seattle Mariners. As, man, that was tough for them. That was tough for the Tigers. We got Phillies Dodgers later on today. Brewers Cubs will be tonight. The Yankees, bye-bye. They're going home. Always fun when the Yankees lose. But Saturday, 2 to 6, we're going to be at the Highland Hotel, just off 75 here, just up the road from our studios where we are right now. The Highland Hotel from 2 to 6. Fantastic pool party. Big time Flagtober spot. We should have flags as well tomorrow. Cold beers and cheeseburgers. And then you got a flag giveaway deal on Saturday too. You're going to be at Hurtado.
Yeah, we're going to be all over the place here. Hurtado Mansfield 10 to 10:30, and then Hurtado Fort Worth 11:30 to noon.
Sweet.
On Saturday. So come get your barbecue, and then of course the Highland Hotel 2 to 6.
So yesterday,
they're going to let us smoke cigars in that pool party thing.
Oh, they will.
Yeah, definitely.
Think so.
Absolutely.
It's an outdoor event. I think you'll be good.
All right.
Yeah. Bring some stogies.
Lucius, I'll bring the sticks.
Yeah, I'm scared, man. Every time I pull out a cigar, somebody taps me on the shoulder.
Yeah, sir. That's what I was kind of wondering. The same here, thing. Sir. Yeah. I was thinking we're
not
outside.
A championship fight, a prize fight. You can't smoke cigars.
You can't do it.
You're channeling your inner Burt Sugarman, right?
And
you were like just chomping on a cigar during a fight, right?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
What's the guy who used to smoke cigars after his team won? The Boston dude?
Arbat.
Yeah. Come on, fam. Yeah.
Well, I mean, that amazing picture of Joe Burrow after they win the Natty.
Yeah, yeah.
Legendary. Yeah. Like in the locker room, fire up some stogies. Yep.
Less amazing Mac Jones recreation.
Yes.
His body that was worse than Tom Brady's at the combine.
Bro.
He's just such a goofy goober, that Mac Jones. He's going to get another
put a shirt on, bro.
Keeps winning.
Put away those pepperonis, all right? Nobody wants to see those.
Those are salamis, dog.
Didn't get an update on the Pro Bowl today. This was yesterday.
Huh?
So what they're doing is, we're not going to have a special weekend for the Pro Bowl anymore. They're going to just kind of shove it into the rest of the build up for the Super Bowl. So they're planning to move the annual Pro Bowl game to the Super Bowl market each year, where the All-Star exhibition would become part of the ever-expanding Super Bowl week festivities. So they'll just have like a flag football deal, or maybe they're, the games where they're all racing each other and doing, course obstacle courses and crap from each conference. How many punts can you catch? And they'll just have that on like a Wednesday or Thursday.
Did we ever try tug of war and stuff like that with the Super Bowl thing? Do we ever do that?
I think at the beach events back in the day when what's his name tore his ACL in that game.
Oh, that was there was
a tug of war that day.
Maybe they got rid of it because of that. Yeah. That would make some sense.
Maybe more active players on Radio Row.
Yeah. That would be good.
Novel concept.
We get some Pro Bowl players walking around. I'm sure Jake Ferguson, he'll be playing in the game.
Less wheelchair dudes.
It's a CTE parade.
Oh, my God.
It is. People you don't know. People you haven't heard of.
That is sad.
It is sad, but you're not wrong. You're not wrong about that.
That's sod.
You're not wrong about that.
That's very sod.
Sod.
Very
sod. I'm so sorry. Shout out to the Stars. Big game tonight. All right, let's get to our top 10.
Wait a minute. We'll be out there in California, and someone will roll up, and the first thing I'm going to think of is Dawson saying that on this day.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Put him on the back of a pickup truck. Throw some candy to you.
Old Yeller.
It's unfortunate.
214, Eric and Woolchuck. It's Coach Spiffy Riffy. Love you, Coach. Best and top one is the tag-alongs.
The tag-alongs, okay. I was going to vote for the 28% indica-dominant hybrid.
Ah! 60-40.
Absolutely.
What the hell are those?
Only Girl Scout cookies I know.
Wow.
I think that's another thing you can usually only get in California or Colorado.
Vegas, too.
Oh, I see what we're doing.
The rare cookie that you want to burn.
Definitely get it in Vegas. 3.5 for like $25.
Those are delicious. Man. Those are how you feeling nicey, won't they, there?
Yeah.
Very nicey.
It says euphoric on the bottom.
It says euphoric. 214, they're out on the coconuts, which I believe is the Samoas. 956 is the fudge one, the hole in the middle. I'm out on the coconuts too. It's the grainy texture of the coconut. Not into it.
Okay.
I don't mind a coconut.
I don't need a rubbery egg. Yeah. It's the same thing.
You can mix coconut in well.
You don't like your eggs. I'm out on the coconut taste.
Okay.
I'll like a coconut mix into a cookie?
Yeah, I know. It's
just a little bit?
If it's just like the coconut flavor.
Dawson, go after him.
Or like coconut milk, like in a curry or something, I'm fine with the taste of coconut. It's like an Almond Joy, I'm not going to have it.
I'm with you on that.
The gritty, grainy coconut
shavings.
Nothing
better than an egg on a hamburger.
But yeah, a nice runny, gooey, delicious egg.
Yeah, you got to do that.
Oh, yeah, let's go.
Why don't you just put the damn egg in the meat and make meatloaf? How about that? That'd be better.
Juicy Lucy egg style.
Oh, God, that'd be awful.
Would it be for yourself?
Would it be?
Yeah,
you bite in there and it's not only Eric's just gooey cheese, it's like a runny yolk.
I went to HEB, got these special wieners.
Let's go.
Hey, I did not.
You got special wieners?
He did. He said he got special wieners. I go, hey, are those the wieners you got earlier? He goes, no, these are other wieners. So my man just goes around looking for wieners at the HEB.
Which wiener shops are you going to?
HEB.
He did. He like was giving me the scouting report. I pulled a heggie. I went, oh, okay. Oh. And kind of, walked away.
The HEB section. And it is absolutely fantastic. I stumbled upon the chef's blend, right, on the opposite side.
Yeah.
But now they have, I was missing just a whole arrangement.
That's why he likes shopping by himself.
Of incredible sausage opportunities.
Yeah, he told us he's got to starve himself for a day because it saves $80 on the family budget. You're consuming $80 worth of food every day. That's impressive.
No, not per day. Just over the course of a month.
Okay.
If you don't eat once
20
a week,
bucks, so those basically. Four,
yeah. Like I said, right, 20 fair. Bucks a day.
That's fair. It is just ridiculous.
Times are tough, man.
The cost of just, I mean, you go to a breakfast now. The breakfast for two people is like $50. Like, what the hell has happened to us?
You should never like be mad about paying for good food.
I'm still mad at it.
If you're paying 50 bucks and it's bad food, be mad. Don't be mad for good food.
No, I enjoy the place we go to, but
like, that's
just no matter how much it costs. I mean, like 20 years ago, breakfast was $6. Like, you'd go there, bacon, eggs, bread.
Go to Waffle House, man. Mm-hmm. You walk out of there, you tip the lady $100 because you feel bad.
Let's see what the Waffle House menu is, big spender over here.
It's $8.
Tip $100.
$15 a person.
Yeah, you literally, like, you feel bad because you've eaten so much food. It's like, and they're like, oh, wait, I had more, ma'am. I had all this extra. And it's like, no, that's your bill. I'm like, okay. Yeah,
wow.
Here's the next $30 because, you know, I felt like I got more for my...
And they have the smoking section.
There is the smoking section.
It's just a one-stop shop.
There is the smoking section.
We've seen a lot of champions walk into that thing.
Totally.
We've seen champions.
Yeah.
Trevor car Lawrence. Races,
yeah, we've seen champions walk into the wall.
A lot. Number 10 is the Trefoils on the all-time best Girl Scout cookies list. That's one of the OG Girl Scout cookies.
Trefoils?
The Trefoils.
Is that truffle oil?
It's spelled Trefoils. I think these
trifold.
I think these are they're like shortbread cookies.
Oh yeah, those are pretty good.
Just traditional.
Yeah, those are just it's not as good as the Lorna Doone, but as far as shortbread goes, it's pretty good.
See, that's where you want like one of the Snackwell kind of vibes, where you get the you get the icing in there.
Yeah,
I think Snackwell's Snackwell's still getting it done because those used to be completely undefeated, dude. Those the
sugar free cookies?
Is that what they were?
They were kind of like.
I guess that makes sense because my mom always had them. She thought she was like, I'm still getting my cookies. Okay, that makes sense. But man, fooled me. Snackwell was dominant. And they had
really good ones.
The chocolate soft kind of.
I think it's really
vibe.
Easy to fool
I don't know.
You
they,
over there.
Oh, that's it.
I think you get fooled a lot.
Well, I mean, the text is saying this Waffle House is not cheap anymore. $21 by myself.
Like, the cheapest for a person is like $15.
I went there the other day. Anymore. Like, I was in South Carolina. I had like a hamburger, the hash browns, omelet.
The hamburger.
Yeah. Cheeseburger.
At the Waffle House.
Cheeseburger. Okay. Cheeseburger.
Not the breakfast sandwich.
No, no, no.
Nah,
like
I'm
the
getting
real.
A hamburger,
no,
fam.
Yeah. Get the. Yeah, all right. Man, they cook that burger with all the other grease stuff on
the
flat
top. They do.
You get a lot of flavor.
The workers eat the burgers.
There you go, Lucius. Now you know what you're talking about.
Yeah. 469, digging the star sweater and the East Dallas Diesel hat. And then Sean McVay over here, a.k.a. Eric. That new haircut, taking 10 years off your life, it looks like.
So is that what somebody's saying?
That's 469. That's I appreciate it. Like shout out to all the Twolos and the YouTubers.
Drove over in a convertible.
Appreciate you guys.
All right, I want you at East Dallas Diesel. Thank you, Lucius. I appreciate that.
Hey, by the way, vanilla cream sandwich cookies. Snackwells. Vanilla cream sandwich cookies. Okay, 40% less fat. Hello. High, free from high fructose corn syrup, partially
those are good.
Hydrogenated
high
oil.
Fructose corn syrup.
All right, peanut free as well.
What are you doing? What are you doing?
Number nine.
I'm just talking about gold. I guess they got discontinued. Sorry, back to Wolchuk.
On the Girl Scout cookie list, lemonades. It's their lemon cookies.
I don't even know if I've had those, but I love lemon
treats.
They've
apparently got two different kinds of lemon
without
treats.
Without sugar in them.
Because number eight.
I didn't even know about the sugar.
Number eight is their lemon ups.
Never seen them.
I'll put those
now, down.
I do think we
ever
have
had 7-Up cookies?
No.
Yeah, it tastes like 7-Up.
It could be good.
You guys ever had 7-Up? That's an old school drink.
Heads up,
7-Up. It's like a Sprite. It's like a Sprite drink.
Yeah. With Seagram 7, too.
Oh, it's awesome.
7-7, baby. Yeah.
Isn't Dr. Pepper 7-Up? Like, they're the same company?
Ooh, I'll have to take your word for
so.
It.
I think so.
I think we are. I think you're on the
Heads Up 7-Up, though, as like a classroom game?
Loved it.
Yeah. Greatest.
Yeah.
It was so much fun.
Just trying to slightly touch that thumb. Who was it?
Yeah.
I think Jerry played with his middle finger up.
Oh, yeah. Of course he did. Gets him confused.
Now let me find that some bitch. Here we go.
Toffee-tastics, number 7. That sounds disgusting.
Toffee is excellent.
Is it? Okay. Yes. Well, I'm not going to knock it until I try it.
Yes.
6 is the caramel chocolate chips.
I haven't tried those. They do look amazing.
They look good.
Yeah.
5 is Adventurefuls, which I've not tried, but they also look really good. Hint of sea salt helps elevate the caramel cream in the middle. It's a brownie-inspired cookie, so it's like a brownie cookie with caramel cream inside and some sea salt.
Come on, that
sounds good.
I got to pay better attention. I go up to these tables, and for the longest time, I didn't want anything but the Thin Mints.
Yeah, which you know, tried and true.
Yeah. So I'm like, how many boxes of Thin Mints do you have? I'll take them, you know? I think I need to be on the lookout for the Adventurefuls and the caramel chocolate chip.
What if you ask them for like all these things we're talking about and they don't have them?
And we're flying out of.
Are you just kind of like?
I'm not that interested in their other offerings. Do you ever throw them $10?
Do you ever turn down the Girl Scout girl like at the Kroger whatever? That's a guarantee for you.
Guarantee.
You just know it. I'll see you on the way out.
If she's in the uniform there and making the effort, yes, it's when. You bring around the list and say, hey, my daughters are selling cookies. I ain't buying a damn box from you.
Peak soda me.
I see you on my way out, and I walk out the other entrance.
Yes. I had to do the same thing. I had to
catch on the flip side.
Yeah. I was like, I got to avoid this or else I'm in a cave.
Sir.
No, you start running.
Get away from me, kid. What are you?
Pick up the phone like you're on a phone call. Like anything to just avoid this conversation right now. Do-si-do's at number 4.
Do-si-do's.
Thin Mints at 3.
This should be top.
Criminal. Thin Mints at 3. The Samoas at 2, which is the coconuts.
Yeah.
And then there you go. America has spoken.
There's a lot of respect for those.
And number I like them because there's always a big box for me if somebody buys some Girl Scout cookies. Yeah. No, because nobody eats the Samoans.
Okay, see.
So you can eat as many as you want. Nobody cares.
Do you guys add use these cookies with like ice cream and stuff? Like put them together, like put them in ice cream as like extra little treats?
Oh, will you like kind of mash it into it?
Yeah, you can make like ice cream sandwiches out of the cookies.
Oh, ooh. Smart deal.
I always just go, I just that's milk weird. That thing. You know?
Thank you, Lucius.
You milk that's beautiful. Yeah, I mean, I always just pair it with milk, but I think the ice cream bit's a better
one. Just get a bowl of ice cream and put some of these cookies in with it, crunch them up, man. It changes your life.
You can milk anything with nipples, Greg. Number 1, though, is the tagalongs. That's your peanut butter patties, like chocolate filled with the peanut
butter. With the peanut butter in the middle.
That is delicious. Yeah. I mean, that is
America loves
2.
Peanut butter.
We sure do. Number 1 for me, the Thin Mints, 2 is the tagalongs. But there is your top 10 list. With a little bit of a winding road of other conversations and topics.
Yeah, Zach and Frisco is alleging that 7-Up is a Pepsi brand.
Dr. Pepper is its own company. 7-Up is kale. Okay.
All righty. Thank you, Wolchuk. Top 10 of 220 is in the books. We got Danny Cannell coming up at 3 o'clock. We'll be talking college football, Chief.
Yeah, let's go ahead and pregame for that with a little bit of a college football Thursday darty featuring your weekend best bets. And Arch Rue Marooski, you're not going to want to miss. And college football's baby Jesus next to the nation.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And you're seeing exactly
why it's not
outside of Cleveland. You know, the Browns, outside of Browns.
You know why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him. And they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right. And the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Yes, sir. Thank you, Lucius. It's the G-Bag Nation here on The Fan. Danny Cannell's coming up at 3 o'clock, our college football expert. And he's going to tell us all about these weekend games, what to expect. And Here's Chief with the college football darty.
Yeah, we got some arch rumors and other things to prep our bodies for the college football weekends right after this.
Well, looky here. Mr. Cold Turkey put a mini booze bottle in his headset.
I've never filmed any of you guys when you're using the bathroom, so I don't know what faces you make when you're doing that.
Special teams, fucking joke.
I want them never to say our name again!
Well, I don't get they rain the head cold.
Big shout out to the Twitches, Natty Daddy. We got, of course, some other Twitchy elites. Not a fan, 105.3. Our guy Rippy as well, OB Swaggy, Mike That's Justin,
Brown 78.
All the OGs up in there.
Very active.
Getting it done at a high level. Happy Thursday to you. I do want to just circle back. Obviously, we had the Oreo McFlurry funneling situation with the Gamecock fan. We remember that from last night, right? Yeah. Sure, we all thought a lot about that when we were driving home last night.
I just tried it out.
Just wondering what a brain freeze situation would do there.
In the chunks.
Yeah.
The Oreo chunks, bro.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Those
You're going to rip something.
That's a great point.
That's going to hurt, man.
And ripping in the tearing.
Yeah, esophagus. Yeah, that could be painful. But would you still get a brain freeze if you're pouring a bunch of freezing cold stuff through the exit? Or would that go spinal on you?
Then go straight to the balls.
Yeah, I think the brain freeze is directly because on the roof of your mouth, it's like a portal to your brain. You know, it's too close.
So it's actual cold. So that's probably the plus side of doing the butt funnel of the Oreo McFlurry is that you don't get the brain freeze. But I do think it could go spinal on you. I really
probably get a colon freeze.
Okay.
Oh, no.
College football, big weekend. Shout out to UNT, selling out DatQ for the first time in a long time. In an ever time. But this is probably the first of many, right? Well, Chuck, tomorrow night's going to be electric. And hopefully UNT continues to rise and rise and rise.
To number one. Number one.
Now,
this isn't NIT basketball.
This guy's such a jerk.
This is college football.
Who crapped go bleep yourself. Cheerios today, bro?
Yeah, man.
Gosh, negative Nancy.
Actually, that was me. I crapped in his Cheerios, and I'm sorry about that.
Yeah, that's not nice.
So we have...
It's just a prank like Shaq. Everybody laugh.
I mean, come on, dude. Crapping your friend's Cheerios from
Can't
handle
some good team building?
Yeah, just bonding?
It's just camaraderie. That's all that is. Texas football coach Steve Sarkisian said it has not been business as usual at practice this week. You want to know why? Said you could feel the intensity in practice. Mm. Those guys are ready to get their asses kicked.
Can you not?
Good news, though, for Texas. Malik Muhammad missed last weekend's game versus Florida.
Yep.
A little banged up. Trending towards being available versus OU this weekend. So I just, I am curious how this thing is all going to shake out. The OU defense is the real deal. I mean, they are. And especially with the way they've kept teams just out of the end zone. I mean, they've allowed 3 touchdowns all season.
Yeah, they played.
Okay, I get it. But they've still, I mean, I get what, Auburn, you just zero respect.
No, Michigan has gotten much better since they played them.
I think Michigan's going to tear up USC as well with some bully ball.
I hope they do.
Physicality. But even in the red zone, opponents 2 for 7. Finding the end zone against the OU defense.
Their defensive line has been extraordinary.
And it has.
It's probably going to be the difference in the game on Saturday.
So the Gig'em, the Aggies message boards have been pretty on point over the years. I know Carter could rattle off a handful of just like nailing a couple of rumors. And one of them right now is that this could be a tough offseason for the Horns, especially with allegedly the Manning family looking for a new spot for Arch. Hmm. All right. The Mannings are allegedly not happy with the play calling or protection for Arch. And the Mannings want Arch playing for Lane Kiffin or Josh Heupel. But Arch really likes living in Austin. That's what the message boards are reading right now. All right, now I would love to see Lane Kiffin and Arch Manning just pair up in the swamp together.
That's part of that rumor I was talking about 2 days ago that 40 was writing about with Lane Kiffin going to UT and Sark leaving.
Come on now.
The Mannings are that influential, aren't they?
Oh, very much so. Yeah.
But they, I mean, Sark's the reason they're at Texas. They've been big Sark fans. So that would be a massive pivot if all of a sudden they decided we're going
to. It just doesn't seem like them to be making about anything other than trusting the process and being patient and playing hard and being accountable.
Yeah.
I can check with my Texas peeps.
Do we have a potential look-ahead situation for the Red Raiders this weekend, or are we just totally crotch-first confident they're going to cover?
I'm pretty confident in the Red Raiders this weekend. I mean, look, you never know when it comes to conference football, but I know Fred's very excited about Kansas and their opportunities. It is a 14.5-point spread currently. Could maybe KU cover that and lose by 10 instead of 14-plus? Sure, but I am confident that the Red Raiders get the job done.
Yeah, I am as well, but they do have that ASU game.
Yeah, you can't
lurking
have the
around
look,
the corner.
Next Friday, right?
Yeah,
but they're at home. I mean, that place should be rocking.
It should be absolutely rocking. And Texas Tech, I love
night
watching
game
them
on
play.
Fox. Yeah,
night game. It's gonna get lit. Tell you, Alabama upset alert.
Yeah, Mizzou. That quarterback's the real deal there.
Pribula, right? Yeah. Dual and threat.
I think
he's a baller.
Left Penn State,
yes.
For Aller.
Yes.
But yeah, he is. I mean, he's starting to get a lot of NFL buzz around him, like possibly first round player.
Bama favored by like 3.5. I don't know. I think I would take Mizzou to cover that, and they might end up winning the football game. Now, Mizzou hasn't really played anybody, but they've put together some nice performances, and they have maybe the best pass rush duo in the SEC with Damon Wilson and Zion Young. Those guys are savages. And Alabama at this point feels pretty one-dimensional with the way they throw the football. So that's going to be another really fun game. You have Indiana and Oregon as well. Indiana having to go to Oregon. That's at the same time as Texas OU.
Yeah, both at 2:30. That's on CBS, 7 versus 3. I mean, 7.5 points is what Oregon's favored by. I expect the Ducks to win, but this is the biggest test for Mendoza in Indiana without a doubt. This is going to be a blast of a game.
And then I mentioned this guy the other day, but Miami has a freshman receiver named Malachi Toney. He's kind of undersized, but he's electric. He's been absolutely awesome for the Miami Hurricanes offense. And Mario Cristobal was asked about him, Miami's head coach. Apparently, so he was a 3-star recruit coming out because he ended up having to fill in at quarterback his senior year. Just last year, his team was sitting 4-2. Like, maybe they make the playoffs, maybe they don't. But he takes over at quarterback, and they go undefeated the rest of the way, and they win the state championship game. And he was a perfect, like, 15-for-15 in the game, ran all over the place, and now he's playing receiver. His nickname in high school was Baby Jesus. Oh. And through just a few games of his short career right now, he's looking the part, man.
Kind of walking on water, huh?
Holy moly. I mean, hey, if you're a small guy, right? That's what they say. You better do.
He's incredible. Wyatt Earp. So watch this guy, Malachi Toney, for the Miami Hurricanes next time they play, which I think is maybe next Friday.
In relation to Kadarius?
Louisville. No. This dude is actually, like, apparently a total pro.
Right on. Thank you, Chief. The little Darty in the books there for you. Danny Cannell joins us next. We'll continue our college football discussion and preview of the weekend with Danny from Bet Online coming up next here. It's the G-Bag Nation and the Fan.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns
know why
fans.
It's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos.
Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.